Welcome back to AI Unchained. The machines are learning faster than ever, and honestly, every week it feels like the timeline speeds up. I'm Jack, and today we've got some wild developments in the AI race that could reshape the entire tech landscape.
And I'm Cor. Before Jack declares the singularity scheduled for next Tuesday, let's remember, hype cycles exist. But yes, some genuinely interesting things are happening in AI right now, especially around competition, money, and who actually wins this arms race.
I'm telling you, this could be huge. We're seeing massive capital flows, new models coming out of places people weren't even watching, and companies jumping in with both feet. The pace of innovation right now? I'm bullish on this.
Hold on, though. Rapid innovation is great, but it also means volatility. We've got layoffs happening at major players like Redwood Materials, while everyone claims the AI economy is booming. That contradiction alone deserves a closer look.
True, but disruption always looks messy in the middle. Sometimes restructuring is just the market reallocating talent toward the next big wave.
Or it's companies realizing their grand visions are harder than expected. The flip side of AI revolution is capital burn rate.
Fair. But speaking of revolutions, remember our episode on April 18th? We talked about NIST potentially stepping back from enriching CVEs and said it might signal a bigger shift in how AI-driven security ecosystems evolve.
And today we've got a story about Tencent's new Hi-3 model that kind of reinforces that theme. Quietly efficient, under the radar, and suddenly the global AI race looks a lot more multipolar.
Exactly. Everyone's been obsessing over OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, but meanwhile, Tencent drops what might be the most efficient Chinese LLM, and barely anyone in the West is talking about it.
Let's pump the brakes until we see real benchmarks and adoption. Efficiency claims are easy. Real-world deployment is the test.
Okay, but wait. Before we get there, we have to talk about the money. Because this one surprised even me. Anthropic reportedly trading on secondary markets at a $1 trillion implied valuation.
Which raises a lot of questions. Private markets setting trillion-dollar valuations for AI companies? That could either mean we're watching the birth of a new industrial giant or the frothiest tech bubble since 2021.
Here's why this matters, though. If Anthropic is really pulling ahead in investor demand, even ahead of OpenAI in some markets, that completely reshapes the AI leaderboard.
Or it just means secondary markets are speculative casinos. Both things can be true.
Either way, we've got a lot to unpack today. AI valuations going vertical, new global competitors emerging, and some serious debate about whether this boom is sustainable.
And at least once today, I'm probably going to say, I told you so.
We'll see about that.
Let's get into it.
Okay, wait. Can we talk about this? Anthropic trading at a $1 trillion valuation on secondary markets. Not public. No IPO. Just shares moving. On platforms like Forge Global. That's bigger than OpenAI's $880 billion on the same venue. I mean, this could be huge.
Hold on, though. Secondary markets are not the same thing as a priced funding round. These are thinly traded shares between investors. One aggressive growth fund throwing around a trillion-dollar number doesn't magically make the company worth $1 trillion.
Sure, but it's not just one trade. Forge Global CEO literally confirmed they're hovering around that level. And look at the revenue growth. This is the part people are sleeping on. Anthropic went from a $9 billion annual run rate at the end of 2025 to $30 billion by March 2026. That's a 233% jump in one quarter.
And that's exactly where I get skeptical. A 233% revenue jump in one quarter sounds amazing, but it also screams AI hype cycle. These numbers are probably annualized run rates, not locked in revenue.
Even if it's annualized, $30 billion run rate for a company that was valued at $380 billion just 3 months ago? That's real adoption. The driver is Claude Code, basically Anthropic's AI coding assistant for developers and companies. Enterprises are integrating it directly into their software pipelines.
The flip side is, we've seen this movie before with DevTools. Early adoption is explosive because every company experiments with it at once. The question is, do they stick around? Or does usage normalize once the novelty wears off?
I don't think this is novelty. Coding assistants are becoming infrastructure. Think about it. If Claude Code can write, review, and refactor code automatically, every tech company suddenly becomes more productive. That's why enterprises are piling in.
or they're multi-homing. That's the thing everyone forgets. A company can use Claude, OpenAI, Google Gemini, and open source models simultaneously. Switching costs are low.
I actually think the opposite is happening. Once an AI gets embedded into your internal tooling, your repos, your deployment systems, your documentation, you don't swap it out casually. That's like ripping out your database.
I'm not so sure. APIs make switching easier than ever. And remember, OpenAI still has distribution through Microsoft. If Copilot and OpenAI tooling are bundled into enterprise software, Anthropic might have a harder time defending that revenue.
But Amazon is backing Anthropic hard. Up to $25 billion in additional investment tied to AWS infrastructure. Imagine Claude becoming the default AI layer across AWS developer tools. That's millions of developers right there.
True, the cloud alliances matter. Microsoft has OpenAI, Amazon has Anthropic, Google has Gemini. It's basically a three-way AI platform war now.
Exactly. That's why I'm bullish on this trillion-dollar number. If AI models become core cloud infrastructure, these companies start looking less like startups and more like operating systems for the economy.
Or we're watching private markets lose their minds again. 3 months ago, Anthropic was valued at $380 billion after its Series G. Now, secondary markets are pricing it at nearly three times that. Nothing fundamental changed that fast.
The revenue did.
The reported run rate changed. That's different.
Fair. But even if the real number is half that, say $15 billion, the growth trajectory is insane.
I'll concede this. The Claude Code adoption story is interesting. If developers genuinely prefer it over alternatives, that's sticky. Developers tend to be loyal to tools that save them time.
Exactly. Win developers, win the platform war.
But trillion-dollar private valuations usually end in one of two ways. Either a massive IPO or a painful reset when public market sanity check the numbers.
So you're saying bubble risk.
I'm saying expectations are now absurdly high.
Okay. But here's the fun question. If Anthropic is already trading around a trillion privately, what happens when one of these AI labs actually goes public?
Yeah, because that's when we find out whether these numbers are real or just very expensive paper trades.
And that leads right into the bigger question about AI markets right now. Are we looking at the next cloud scale platform shift or the fastest hype cycle Silicon Valley has ever produced? Okay, this one's wild. Meta reportedly cutting about 10% of its workforce, roughly 8,000 employees, while simultaneously planning up to $135 billion in capital expenditures this year, mostly for AI infrastructure. That's almost double what they spent last year. I mean, this could be huge.
Hold on, though. Huge for who? Because for 8,000 people, it's pretty brutal. And the framing here is interesting. Meta basically saying we're cutting humans so we can buy more GPUs.
Yeah, but zoom out for a second. Zuckerberg has been telegraphing this for a while. He said AI will eventually do a lot of the work engineers do today. If you believe that, then reallocating budget from payroll to compute makes strategic sense.
Or it's a giant bet that might not pay off. Let's pump the brakes. $135 billion in capital expenditure is enormous. That's data centers, AI chips, networking, the whole stack. If the AI monetization doesn't scale the way they expect, that's a very expensive experiment.
But look at the pattern across the industry. Microsoft offering buyouts to about 7% of its workforce. Block cut something like 40% of employees earlier this year. This isn't just Meta being reckless. It's the entire tech sector saying AI makes certain roles less necessary.
Or executives think AI will make roles less necessary. That's a different thing. We still don't actually see AI replacing large numbers of engineers in practice. Most companies are using it as a productivity tool, not a full replacement.
Wait. Productivity tools still change headcount. If every engineer becomes 30% more productive because they have an AI coding assistant, you simply need fewer engineers to ship the same amount of product.
In theory. But historically, productivity gains usually increase output, not decrease workers. Spreadsheets didn't eliminate accountants. They made finance departments bigger.
True, but software might be different because the marginal cost of shipping more product is almost zero. If AI can generate code, test it, debug it. Zuckerberg's basically saying the company will shift from people writing code to people supervising AI writing code.
And that's the part I'm skeptical about. Supervising AI sounds nice until you realize someone still has to understand the system deeply enough to catch mistakes. If you cut too many experienced engineers, the whole thing becomes fragile.
That's fair, but Meta is playing a scale game. Think about their ecosystem. Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, their ad platform. If they build world-class AI infrastructure, they can deploy it everywhere. Content moderation, ad targeting, creator tools, messaging assistants. That leverage is massive.
The flip side is the cost. $135 billion is almost sovereign nation spending levels for infrastructure. And the market noticed. Meta's stock dipped about 2% after the news. Investors are clearly asking, is this another metaverse-style spending spree?
I actually think this is the opposite of the metaverse situation. Back then, it was speculative hardware and VR adoption. AI is already generating revenue. Better ad targeting alone can justify billions in compute spend.
Maybe. But we should also talk about the social signal here. When a CEO publicly predicts AI will absorb the work of human engineers and then lays off 8,000 people, that sends a message across the entire tech labor market.
Yeah. Learn to work with AI or get replaced by it.
Or it sends a fear signal that companies might over-automate before the tools are actually reliable. We've seen that movie before with outsourcing waves.
I still think this is the early stage of a massive reallocation. Instead of spending on headcount, companies are spending on compute. Data centers are the new workforce.
That's a catchy line, but compute doesn't innovate by itself. People do. And if Silicon Valley convinces itself AI replaces talent instead of amplifying it, they might hollow out their own advantage.
Okay, but here's where I'm bullish. The companies that get this balance right will explode in productivity. Smaller teams, massive infrastructure, AI doing the grunt work. That could produce products way faster than the old model.
Or it produces a handful of extremely powerful tech companies and a lot fewer tech jobs. Both outcomes can be true.
Fair point. So we agree this is a massive structural shift. We just disagree on whether it's mostly opportunity.
Or mostly risk.
Exactly. And speaking of giant AI spending, the next story actually takes this even further because another company just announced a data center build-out that makes Meta's look almost conservative. So here's an interesting one in the battery world. Redwood Materials, J.B. Straubel's company, just lost their COO, Chris Lister. And the timing is spicy. It comes literally days after the company laid off about 10% of its workforce, around 135 people.
Yeah, and let's pump the brakes on calling this just a retirement. Lister had only been there since late 2023. He got promoted to COO in 2024, which means he barely warmed the chair before leaving.
True, but hold on. This is a classic scaling company reshuffle. Redwood's pivoting toward energy storage. Straubel told employees the layoffs and restructuring were to support that push. If you're moving from battery recycling to also refurbishing batteries for grid storage, the org chart changes.
Maybe, but the flip side is when you see multiple executives leaving in a short window, that's usually not just a tidy pivot. We're talking about the COO leaving, plus the VP of integrated supply chain, the VP of mechanical engineering, and the VP of manufacturing. That's a lot of institutional knowledge walking out the door.
Sure, but remember the context. Redwood is basically building the circular economy for EV batteries. Their whole pitch is take old EV batteries, recycle the valuable metals, and then reuse packs for energy storage. And now they've got deals with Rivian and this AI infrastructure company, Crusoe, to use refurbished batteries for grid storage.
Which is clever, but also messy. Used EV batteries are unpredictable. Some degrade faster, some have safety risks, and repurposing them for grid storage isn't trivial. You're basically taking thousands of giant lithium-ion cells with different histories and saying, let's plug these into the power grid.
But that's exactly why this could be huge. Look at the demand curve. AI data centers need massive energy storage. Renewable energy needs storage because the sun doesn't shine all night. If Redwood can take batteries that still have, say, 70% capacity and turn them into cheap grid storage, that's a massive arbitrage.
Wait. Cheap is the key word there. I'm not convinced the economics work yet. Recycling lithium-ion batteries is notoriously difficult and expensive. The margins aren't great unless metal prices spike.
Historically, yes. But Straubel knows this problem inside out. He helped build Tesla's battery supply chain. Redwood's whole thesis is that recovering lithium, nickel, and cobalt domestically will be cheaper than mining and importing them.
I agree. The supply chain angle is compelling. The U.S. absolutely wants domestic batteries.
Or it means they're tightening the ship before the next phase. Look, they cut 10%. That's not catastrophic for a startup that's scaling heavy manufacturing. Sometimes you reset before ramping.
Except manufacturing startups are brutal. Capital intensive, slow margins, and tons of operational complexity. Losing a COO who previously ran operations at Tesla's Nevada Gigafactory, that's not a minor loss.
Fair. That guy knows how to run a battery factory. But here's the bullish take. Redwood may be transitioning from startup mode to industrial platform mode. Different leadership skill sets.
Or they're realizing building a vertically integrated battery recycling empire is harder than the pitch deck made it sound.
That's always true in climate tech, though.
Exactly. Which is why investors should watch the next few quarters closely.
I still think the macro trend saves them. EV batteries are going to start aging out in huge numbers this decade. Someone is going to capture that recycling market. If Redwood executes, they're sitting on the choke point of the whole ecosystem.
Big if.
Big opportunity.
Risky execution.
Okay, we'll call that a classic agree to disagree.
And speaking of the battery supply chain getting weird, there's another development in the EV ecosystem that might actually change how these companies scale.
So Tencent quietly dropped this model called Hy3, and I feel like nobody in the West is really talking about it. But the numbers are kind of wild. It's a 295 billion parameter mixture of experts model, but only about 21 billion parameters are active at a time. And here's why this matters. That makes it dramatically cheaper to run.
Hold on, though. Cheaper to run is the line every company is selling right now. What does that actually mean here?
Okay. Think of it like a company with 295 billion employees, but only 21 billion show up to work for any specific task. The model routes your question to the specialists that matter instead of waking up the entire system. Less compute, less energy, lower cost.
That's the mixture of experts trick. We've seen it with models like Mixtral and some Google stuff too. It's efficient, sure, but it can also introduce weird routing problems where the wrong expert handles the query.
Sure, but look at the benchmark jump. On SW Bench Verified, this is a coding test where models try to fix real bugs in GitHub repos. Hy3 jumped from 53% with the previous model to 74.4%.
That is a big jump.
That's a 40% improvement for coding tasks. That's not incremental.
Wait. Benchmarks are slippery, though. We've seen companies optimize for specific tests, and SW Webench is great, but it's still a controlled environment.
Sure, but here's the part I'm bullish on. Distribution. Tencent didn't just publish a model. They plugged it directly into QQ, Tencent Docs, and Yuanbao. That's hundreds of millions of users overnight.
The flip side is that almost none of those users are outside China. This is an ecosystem play, not a global one.
Maybe for now. But they also open sourced it on GitHub, Hugging Face, and ModelScope. That means developers everywhere can grab it.
Yeah, but geopolitics matters here. US companies are not casually integrating Chinese foundation models into their stack. Data security, compliance, those questions get messy fast.
True, but open source has a way of sneaking around those barriers. Developers don't care where the weights came from if the model is cheap and good.
I'm not so sure. Companies care. Governments definitely care. And remember, these models can come with baked-in censorship or alignment choices tied to local regulations.
Fair point. But zoom out. The pricing is nuts. Tencent Cloud API access starts around 18 cents per million input tokens.
That's very cheap.
Exactly. If that pricing holds, it pressures every other provider. OpenAI, Anthropic, everyone. This could trigger another price war.
Or it's a loss leader. Big Chinese tech firms are perfectly willing to subsidize infrastructure if it locks developers into their cloud ecosystem.
But even then, developers win. Lower costs mean more experimentation, more AI features everywhere.
Unless it becomes a race to the bottom where everyone releases bigger and bigger models just to keep up, and nobody actually makes money.
You're assuming the goal is immediate profit. Tencent is thinking platform dominance. Imagine every doc, chat, and enterprise workflow inside Tencent tools being AI augmented with a model this cheap.
That's the part one actually agree with you on. embedding the model into products is smarter than just releasing another chatbot.
Exactly. And the other interesting detail, they actually reduced parameters compared to the previous model. Hi2 had over 400 billion.
Which is kind of refreshing. The industry has been stuck in this bigger is always better mindset.
Right. Tencent basically said 295 billion is the sweet spot where reasoning matures, but adding more parameters stops helping.
If that holds up, it's a quiet shift in the AI race, from biggest model to most efficient model.
And that's why I think this story matters more than people realize.
Maybe. But until we see independent testing and real developer adoption outside Tencent's ecosystem, I'm keeping my skepticism.
Fair. But if the benchmarks are even half real, this thing could show up in a lot of open source stacks pretty fast.
And if that happens, then the next question becomes, what does that do to the economics of the entire LLM market?
All right, that's a wrap for today's episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot. AI models getting more capable by the month. Big tech doubling down on infrastructure and governments, well, trying to keep up.
Trying being the key word. Hold on, though. Regulation isn't just bureaucracy for fun. The flip side of all this acceleration is that nobody really knows where the guardrails should be yet.
Sure, but here's why this matters. The pace of innovation right now is wild. Companies are shipping models, tools, and AI copilots into everything. This could be huge for productivity. I'm bullish on what the next 2 or 3 years could look like.
And I'm not so sure it'll be that smooth. Wait. Every cycle like this comes with hype. Remember when we talked about autonomous vehicles being 2 years away, 5 years ago?
Hey, progress is happening.
Slowly.
Faster than people think. And look, the investment side we talked about today, billions going into AI chips, data centers, robotics. That doesn't happen unless people believe the upside is massive.
Or unless there's a bubble forming. The flip side is we might be overbuilding before the real business models are proven.
Okay, but you said the same thing about cloud in the early days.
And a lot of companies did go bust before the winners emerged.
Fair. Okay, bold prediction time. Here's mine. Within 3 years, AI agents will be running meaningful parts of businesses, customer service, internal ops, maybe even basic financial analysis. Not experiments, real workflows.
3 years? I'm pumping the brakes on that. My prediction, we're going to hit a pretty serious regulatory and legal wall first, especially around data and liability. I think within 2 years, we'll see at least one major government freeze or heavily restrict a class of AI deployments after something goes wrong.
Wow, that's the dark timeline.
It's the realistic timeline.
I disagree. I think the market figures it out faster than the regulators.
And I think the regulators show up the moment the market gets messy.
All right, so we agree to disagree.
For now.
And we'll check the tape in a couple years, like we did with that prediction about open source models catching up to the big labs.
Which, to be fair, is looking a lot closer than you expected.
I'll give you that one.
Mark the calendar.
All right, folks, thanks for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed the conversation, share the episode. Send it to a friend who's trying to make sense of all this AI chaos.
And stay a little skeptical. The tech is powerful, the incentives are huge, and the consequences aren't always obvious.
But the opportunities are enormous. And that's why I'm excited about what's coming next.
We'll be watching the AI race, the money flowing into compute, and whether policymakers actually catch up.
See you next time on AI Unchained.